Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
$40 million abortions. At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, you know, is above my pay grade.
That's Rick Warren and President Barack Obama speaking at the Saddleback Presidential Civil Forum in August of 2008. His famous words that the question of fetal rights, human rights in the womb, above his pay grade. Everyone acts like we don't know when life begins. Now, there are a lot of things that even the best of scientists don't know about human life in the womb, but we know a lot more than we used to. It's certainly not above a embryologist's pay grade to answer such a question. It's not just an ethical or theological question. It's a scientific question, too. The scientific answer to the question, when does life begin? And the subject of fetal autonomy or embryonic autonomy is the subject of our conversation. Anna Maria Dumitru joins us. She's a sixth-year MD-PhD candidate at the Geisel School of Medicine at Dartmouth College and author of a recent column for Public Discourse titled Science, Embryonic Autonomy, and the question of when life begins. Anna, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been in medical school for a long time. And if you can remember, in kind of the average embryology class, is the science ambiguous as to when life begins?
So that's a little bit of a loaded question. I think generally when we are taught about the embryology, it's basically walking us through the different biological steps. So we learn that a sperm cell and an egg fuse together to form a zygote, and that's the first cell in the developmental continuum. And then we learn that that cell then proceeds to divide and divide again and implant into the maternal uterus, and then from there grows, and eventually the baby is delivered after a period of gestation. So that's kind of how it's presented in our coursework. I think the question, you know, that's basically a presentation of just the facts of the biology. So it's not necessarily getting at the question of what life is, which in a way is fair because, you know, our biology, our science informs us about the characteristics of life, but doesn't necessarily get at the philosophical question of what life is, if that makes sense.
Are any of the embryology classrooms tossing around the loose terms clump of cells that we so often hear about the embryo?
So generally speaking, when I've heard it referred to as a clump of cells, I think that's in dialogue with individual people. So often that's used as an argument against, you know, basically it's an argument talking about whether or not to conduct research on the early human embryo or on embryonic stem cells, or an argument about whether or not abortion is morally justified. So I think those are generally the times when we talk about, and I've heard just the clump of cells used, if that makes sense. So our professors are they use the terminology, the medical terminology for sure.
Beginning at that very first stage at fertilization with the zygote, the new single cell forms, can we speak of this cell being an autonomous organism? First of all, what should that mean? And should we speak of that very first cell, union of sperm and egg, as an autonomous organization?
Right. So I think that's part of what this new article that had been published last May was showing, is they had actually shown the possibility of basically growing an embryo, fertilized human, so a human embryo in culture without the use of maternal tissue. And this, to my knowledge, had not been done before. And I think this gets at the question of what does autonomy really mean? You know, is it, if we just define it in a very simplistic terms as freedom from external control. I think we now have scientific evidence that the early human embryo exhibits autonomous behavior, because they had basically shown using human embryos that these embryos are able to develop actually to the post-implantation phase. So if you've heard about in debates about the idea of when pregnancy begins, which is different from the question of when life begins, right? So it's often said, I think the definition right now is that pregnancy begins when the human embryo implants into the wall of the uterus in the mom. But basically, I think the evidence that we have now is that actually it's a human cell from the very beginning, from the moment that it is conceived. And that one cell that is initially formed has the complete genetic makeup to then drive that cell's progression through the rest of the human developmental continuum, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. So I don't know if that answers your question fully, but in terms of talking about autonomy, I think, yeah, we do now have the evidence that the early human embryo from the first cell state can exhibit autonomous behavior and program itself. It's already pre-programmed, basically, to continue developing.
You say that earliest human embryo doesn't know whether he or she is wanted or not, but does know in the sense that it can at that stage, that it wants to live. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think basically just looking at the biology and looking at the fact that this one cell continues to divide, whether or not it receives external signaling to do so, is telling us that even before we have a central nervous system, even before we have a brain that's giving us orders to our, you know, in developing our conscious thought process, our first cell that we all come from, right? We all come from the same starting point of that one cell organism. It's programmed to divide. So it's, and I think what the value of this new study is that it's showing us that, you know, it doesn't even have to, because I think before there was the thought that the maternal tissue actually provides the signals to promote this cell to keep dividing. But actually what these scientists have shown is that you can just have that one zygote, that human cell, and its default setting is to live, so to keep dividing and growing.
And then, of course, after implantation, there is two-way communication between mother and developing embryo.
Right, absolutely. So the idea is that, I like to think about it this way, the embryo's first mission is to get from the fallopian tube into the uterus, and in order to, it basically comes with enough nutrients to make this short journey into the uterus and implant there, and that's where it embeds into the lining of mother's uterus called the endometrium, and that then it can connect to the mother's blood supply and then get nutrients from the mother in that way as well.
Why do you say it's time to reevaluate embryo destructive research in light of not only what we've known before, but what we now know about the autonomy of the human embryo from the very beginning?
Right. I think, you know, it's time we recognize that it is actually a human and that human life begins at conception. At the point that you are at a full single-celled organism, that first zygote, right, from then on, it's a developmental continuum. So I think, you know, a lot of the arguments that I've heard in favor of embryonic stem cell research and embryo research in general using human tissue have said, well, it's not living yet, or it's not a person yet, but actually it really is, you know, that gets at the question of how do you define personhood, how do you define the start of life. And I think if we take a look at least from the scientific perspective, you have everything in your genetic code, all of your radical or root capacities for everything that we can end up doing in our lives. So from that perspective, I mean, it's a human person from the very beginning and all the way through the spectrum. I think that's the crux of the pro-life position as well. And I think the idea is that we don't value humans because of what they do or what they contribute to society. We value humans because of their intrinsic value as humans.
Finally, then, at the same time, are the terms that are often used in medical school and elsewhere, if used not to deflect from the truth, like zygote, morulus, blastocyst, things like that, are those terms still useful if used not to deny the humanity of the embryo?
Oh, absolutely. I think you know, we can get lost in the terminology at times, but I think in some ways it's part of our nature to want to categorize and organize what we see and what we observe in the world around us. So we've come up with all of these different categories and names for the different developmental stages and for different processes that constitute a living being. So I think they're definitely useful from that point of view. It helps to keep us organized in what we're discussing and which points we're talking about. But I think we have to not get so far into the weeds as to get lost and to lose sight of the fact that we're still talking about human persons.
Anna Maria Dumitru is a sixth-year MD-PhD candidate at the Geisel School of Medicine at Dartmouth College. She is author of a recent column for Public Discourse titled Science, Embryonic Autonomy, and the Question of When Life Begins. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Anna, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Terry Mattingly will be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about White House strategist Stephen Bannon's recent statement to the New York Times that the media need to keep its mouth shut and just listen for a while, and an exchange between Trump and a reporter on the March for Life.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldusa.org. worldusa.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Confessional, liturgical, sacramental. Lutheran Church of the Redeemer is located in Columbus, Georgia, right next to Fort Benning, Georgia, off of Exit 7 on I-185. Come receive our Lord Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and grace every Sunday in the Divine Service. For more information, visit our website, RedeemerColumbusGA.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.